M36. Number 1B.
All right. So we can say a success in a part, it can be, must not be, but can be a defeat in the whole. Therefore, we have to be careful how we deal with our individual life problems and not look at them in that narrow way. What happened just now? Do I feel miserable just now? And does it ache me just now? And it's not that. Huh? It's seeing what place value has that problem within the long range of our eternal life. What is that place value? So we broaden out our frame of reference and look from a bigger frame of reference to that part and see the right perspective of that part. We can see very clearly in our life, just as it is in medicine, that's what they begin to see more and more in medicine, that by healing a part, a certain disease, they only push off the real problem. They don't solve it. They know, especially psychosomatic medicine knows very well, that if they heal a case just medically, that what they do is nothing else but to push off the problem. It's still there, that the psychic problem is still there. The body has been changed, the symptoms has been changed, so they can expect that something else will pop up in the way of disease, because the true problem has not been solved. It has just been pushed off or wiped under the carpet. Therefore, can you also see that such a so-called quick and efficient and effective healing may not be at all a healing? And that has bothered me since I was a young boy, that I could see how Christian Science sometimes, just like that, healed a very serious problem. And I was really depressed to see that these people never studied Christian Science afterwards, never really went along this new science, that they went along just the old way, only much worse. They were healed bodily, but they were worse off, because they came under a new superstition. Namely, there is a practitioner who knows a trick. I have found a new what you call those medical men in the old, in the primitive races?
Witch doctor.
They have found a new witch doctor. A witch doctor that does know the trick. So the whole inner attitude then can be, not in every case, but I would say in 90%, was, now I know somebody who can do the trick when I get into trouble. So there is no effort not to get into trouble anymore. So you can go on in your life just the way you like. You know, when you get into trouble, there is a telephone and there is that witch doctor, huh? Called the Christian Science practitioner. Sorry to say that. Huh? He is not that witch doctor. But the attitude of the patient is that way. I must make that clear. Huh? Is that the healing? See, for me, that is not the healing. That's making the case worse, just as it is in ecology. It's an ontological disease that he is getting for, in the place of being healed physically. He gets an ontological disease. His whole attitude is weakened. You think that all who have had a marvelous, not just a mediocre healing in Christian, just all those where they had a real good healing in Christian Science, if all those would have stayed with Christian Science, we would have a terrific movement. But they all fell away. I only know of very, very few who did not fall away. And even those who did not fall away, they were never those who really made an impact in life. They just went obediently to the church and read obediently the lessons and went along somehow in some kind of gratitude and obedience. But really, the life impulse, the new impulse, the fire, that was not there. That's why Jesus actually couldn't use those people who he healed. He just sent them always away and more or less said, you are no good. I need those people who have spiritual sense, who see what true healing is. So whenever he healed, he said, you go back to the church and tell the priest. You see, that's where you belong to. But he never said, come on, boy, follow me now. Let's get going. Huh? No, he didn't say that. And so today, so often you hear, well, if there would be more efficient and convincing healing in the movement would attract more people. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. The world is now full of systems and so on that heal and heal very efficiently. You take an infectious disease. You go to the doctor, he heals that with just a few tablets. It's so efficient. Some of the diseases are so efficiently dealt with. So healing is no more what it used to be 200 years ago, you know, a great mystery, a great thing. You see, healing, that's a mystery, that's something mysterious, that's a higher insight, that's a higher quality. Today, there are so many ways of healing. But is it healing? Is it wholeness? Is it holiness? That's the question mark. So, what we need is actually evaluate the success of healing from a structural point of view. Therefore, evaluate a change which is called healing, first from the gestalt point of view. Is the whole form better than before, or only the part? Therefore, healing must be directed towards the whole man, not the part of the man. And therefore, a whole body, the whole healing can never be achieved by healing parts. It's by healing the whole. Whenever a so-called part has to be healed, it must be healed from the whole. The whole must be healed, not the part. And that naturally gives to Christian Science treatment such a beauty and such a terrific sense of bigness, because you just can't anymore, with the new system of reference, heal any part, any one single problem. You always give a treatment of the whole. You always see the whole and let the whole take care of its part. When the whole is whole, the parts are whole. And so a Christian Science treatment is so beautiful, because you just lift the whole concept of a man right to the level where one sees his whole being as whole and not just a part. We therefore can evaluate the success of healing not with physical symptoms but with spiritual symptoms. Is man spiritually better, not physically better? That's the measurement. Does that treatment transform consciousness? That's the measurement. Does it transform man? Then it's positive. But if it only transforms the problem, then we have no indication that this is healing. No indication whatever. If the symptoms are only transformed, we have no indication if a true healing has taken place or not. Therefore, has this healing brought the patient nearer to principle? That's a criteria. If it has brought him nearer to principle, if he has seen suddenly a new system of reference, if he is a changed man, then we can say healing has taken place. So if we try to summarize this, we can see that healing must go out from principle, and every problem must be answered by going out from that principle. And see what? And this is now the Christ again, and see that principle has infinite translatability. It has not just that individual translatability which we ask for humanly. It's really that point where we say, let's get out of the way, let's have no material conception about the way it should be healed and what should come out, where we have that humility and say, all right, thy will be done. I'm not going to interfere with my wishes, with my desires. I'm not going to interfere with it. I let the divine principle translate itself the way it wants to translate itself, even if it does not bring forth that what I wished. Even if it doesn't seem to be logical. Even if it doesn't seem to be reasonable, humanly. Even if it seems that humanly it is not right. You know, when we talk these things over with a patient who is not willing to accept that, he comes up with the answer and says, but it is only right that. It would only be right that. And then they say, what? Huh? It would only be right that. It will come out this and this and this way. And humanly reasoned, we would say, yes, that would be fine. Humanly, that would be just wonderful. And to let that go, you know, to have that terrific courage to be humble. It needs an awful lot of courage. To be humble and say, okay, let principle do now what principle wants to do. And accept it, what comes out. Let it happen. And therefore you can see that one can also measure the success from the point of view of Christianity, namely, does the treatment, does the healing process heal consciousness? And perhaps heal consciousness before it heals the body. Mostly in the old paradigm, one has taken the standpoint that the treatment will heal the patient bodily, physically, and he gets his healing, and that afterwards he will get a spiritual uplift and he'll be spiritually changed. In the new paradigm, I begin to see in the last years more and more, suddenly that phenomena came up in the healing practice, that when you heal with that new paradigm, that you first always see a healing of consciousness. That suddenly the patient comes up and says, I have another consciousness. I look at things now completely different. And then the healing follows, the physical healing. And this, I think, is the right order, because the spiritual consciousness determines the material situation. So then we see it brings the patient nearer to principle, and that's a proof of healing. The proof of healing is not if the symptom changes. And finally, we can see from the point of view of science that in the new paradigm we get another kind of evaluation of success, namely that we know that if we go out from principle and stay with principle and that see that only the aim of principle is worked out, that we have a feeling that every treatment is a success. We are no more going to doubt the treatment. We are no more going to ask, has the treatment worked or not? Because why did we feel the treatment did not work? Because we measured it with another standard, with another measurement, with the human measurement. We mix up these categories, you know. But when we see that our consciousness is in line with principle, and we follow principle and go along with the Christ idea of principle and see that the Christ idea is conscious of its own ideas, we know that that treatment is right and therefore is successful, is spiritually successful, is principally successful. No matter what people then say, no matter what the body may say for the moment. And so we can see that we should much more rely on the fact that what we do in Christian Science is always substantial and is always successful, and that we should not weigh in the balance of atomistic success. This is a great point. And you can also see that so often, you see, that people are too much involved in healing and make too much of healing. They always have to deal with disease and death and sickness and so on. They are so mesmerized that the main thing in our life is healing, that naturally they must get sick or they can't get a healing. They ask for trouble. But if one doesn't do that, you see, if one is more interested in the workings and the ever-operative principle, how seldom you have to deal with anything like that. Well, another question that comes up in this connection is really this: what then is the attitude towards medicine? This is a question that Mrs. Eddy also takes up in her textbook, and it's a question that comes up time and time again. And so let's just put it down in a fundamental way without going into any detail and just get it straightened out. Fundamentally, that's the principle: mind heals. Mind, not drugs, heal. That's the principle of Christian Science. All right, but it is wrong to trust blindly mind that it heals, because blind trust in mind is not right. So many Christian Scientists just trust blindly in mind, and then they think they trust God, but they only trust their blindness, and that naturally is not the way out. Then in that blindness they refuse to take medicine, to go to a doctor, because they want to be obedient to Christian Science and want to be faithful and do not see that they are only faithful to their blindness, and that therefore blindness doesn't do them any good and can leave them in a worse state. Or others go the other extreme and make compromise with medicine and feel you can try both. If one doesn't hurt, it's okay, and the other heals. That's the other wrong attitude, making compromise right and left with medicine. But then still there is another case where in a situation a student is really faithful to the principle of Christian Science, does his utmost to understand that principle, is earnest in it, is sincere in it, and yet he may not get help. This situation arises. This is a situation that Mrs. Eddy takes into consideration in the textbook. So what should one do? The case gets worse, and yet, with all your heart, with all your sincerity, you rely on the divine principle, but you may not understand it enough to heal the case, and things get worse and worse and worse. Shall you turn to the doctor or not? He says, when there is no full trust, let the patient go and let him go to the doctor, but keep your hands off. It's a clear, clean, honest situation. Did you hear what I said? If the patient does not trust fully, then let him go. Don't try to force him that he blindly obeys and sticks to the one mind, because blindness doesn't do any good to anybody. So it is much more honest to tell to the patient, look here, I can understand you, that you have no full trust in Christian Science, and that perhaps you have more trust in medicine, so why don't you go? You don't need to trust something into which you have no full trust and understanding. But then it's the doctor's business. But there is another case when the patient has full trust and is in earnest, and yet you can see that the case gets worse and worse and worse, and it just seems that one can't help him. What do you do then? Then you don't go to the doctor. You don't go to the doctor. You go to the Divine Mind. And then you ask the Divine Mind to guide us to choose the right means. And Mrs. Eddy says, in that case, mind will lead you into the right use of temporal and eternal means. So can you see what I say? Because this is a difficult thing. I can be misquoted very quickly and be criticized about it. But this is Mrs. Eddy's teaching, that she says, if you are not succeeding, and very often it is the case that we are not succeeding, and we just see things get worse and worse, and it comes to a point where it really is a question of life and death, perhaps, and you just feel, I can't take the responsibility on me. After all, we only know as much as we know, and nobody can accuse us that we do not more than what we know. So, what shall we do? Not to send him to the doctor is the right answer, but to turn to the one mind and ask mind, what shall we do humanly? Mind has infinite ways and means, temporal means and eternal means. There is only one mind, and that one mind can use all means. Just as Elijah was fed by the ravens, by error, so we too can see that everything can be subject to the one mind, and therefore that one mind will find ways and means to direct us to choose those temporal and eternal means that are adequate to the situation, and then accept them. And if it is led that the patient has to go to a doctor and has to take medicine, he should do it and not resist it. Then he should accept it. If mind sends him there, then he should accept it. And then he should say yes to the situation and not resist it and go along with it. Because it's still mind that has guided him, and not the human decision. So that we can see here that Mrs. Eddy takes the same attitude as Jesus has taken with John the Baptist. He said, let it be so now. And there she says and interprets that in the chapter on marriage, that she says, all right, we can make concession if, but only with an if it serves for the advancement of spiritual good. Otherwise, the concessions are all wrong. But if it is for the advancement of spiritual good, how on earth can that be for the advancement of spiritual good? And she says, look here, it can relieve you temporarily, but the problem is not solved. But it has given you a chance somehow to get into that state of things where you can work in quietude without pain or anything like that and work out the problem. The problem has still to be worked out. You see, no matter if then a material medicine has helped and apparently the symptoms have disappeared and the body seems to be healthy, the problem still is latently there and has to be worked out. Then comes the great point, are we then afterwards going to work it out spiritually? Or are we just saying, well, this time Christian Science failed, and so I had to go to the doctor and the doctor helped me. See, that would be a wrong answer. It would be that the doctor has been a transitionary help and love has been so kind to me to give back to me a state of inner rest and quietude and peace when I can now work out the problem without being bothered too much by pain and things like that. So I think that's again showing that we still remain within the realm of the one being because we let mind show us the way. And I hope I put it so clear that there is no misunderstanding conception about what I said. All right. That's that.